harvest is calling, for laborers true in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, on heavenly manna we're fed, while souls are the ocean in darkness, are starving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, they're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. A very cheerful greeting to all who are tuned to XEG. This is Willie Murphy coming to you once again with another broadcast of the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma, as we do each Friday night at 11 o'clock. We're very grateful to those who are helping to make this broadcast possible by their prayers and offerings. We do appreciate hearing from you and desire to do our best for God and His cause, both at home and abroad. I would like to ask a very vital question, which all of us should consider. Are we willing and ready to stand in the gap? Now, let me further explain what I mean by this. Here's a scripture in Isaiah 59:16-17 that seems to fit in so well with the thought I have on my heart. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. After the transgression of man, who had fallen into the depths of sin, he needed a Savior. Yet no one was found worthy to bring salvation except the Son of God. All other men were in the same condemnation of sin, and the arm which brought redemption was the gift of God's only Son. Another scripture which brings out this thought is found in Ezekiel 22:30. I quote, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Now, just as it was necessary for the giving of the Son of God to bring salvation to mankind, even so is it necessary today for the people of God to stand in the gap and be an intercessor for those who continue to live in their wickedness. Who of us is able to say how many lives have been saved from the destruction of sin by the prayers of a godly father or mother? Who of us can say the homes that have been saved from the wreckage of sin through influence of a godly person? It is easy to see a disaster when it comes into the lives of others, but on the other hand, think of the disasters which have been averted, and even more which could be avoided through the intercession of the people of God. Then, let us look at it this way. Someone might say, there isn't much which I can do because I am limited in my ability. Now, friends, let me encourage you, regardless of your limitations, Do what you can for the cause of God in this world. God is ever looking for those who have a willing and ready mind. If he can find this, he is able to take the smallest sacrifice which we have to offer and multiply it 100-fold. Now, I'd like to bring out this thought of standing in the gap a little more clearly by this legend from Holland, The Leak in the Dyke, by Phoebe Carey. The good dame looked from her cottage at the close of the pleasant day and cheerily called to her little son outside the door at play. Come, Peter, come. I want you to go, while there is light to see, to the hut of the blind old man who lives across the dyke for me. And take these cakes I made for him. They are hot and smoking yet. You have time enough to go and come before the sun is set. Then the good wife turned to her labor, humming a simple song, and thought of her husband working hard at the sluices all day long, and set the turf a-blazing and brought the coarse black bread that he might find a fire at night and find the table spread. And Peter left the brother with whom all day he had played and the sister who had watched their sports in the willow's tender shade, and told them they'd see him back before they saw a star in sight, though he wouldn't be afraid to go in the very darkest night. For he was a brave, bright fellow, with eye and conscience clear. He could do whatever a boy might do, and he had not learned to fear. Why, he wouldn't have robbed a bird's nest, nor brought a stork to harm, though never a law in Holland had stood to stay his arm. And now with his face all glowing and eyes as bright as the day, with the thoughts of his pleasant errand he trudged along the way. And soon his joyous prattle made glad a lonesome place. Alas, if only the blind old man could have seen that happy face. Yet he somehow caught the brightness which his voice and presence lent, and he felt the sunshine come and go as Peter came and went. And now, as the day was sinking and the winds began to rise, the mother looked from her door again, shading her anxious eyes, and saw the shadows deepen and birds to their homes come back, but never a sign of Peter along the level track. But she said, he will come at morning, so I need not fret nor grieve, though it isn't like my boy at all to stay without my leave. But where was the child delaying on the homeward way was he, across the dyke while the sun was up an hour above the sea? He was stopping now to gather flowers, now listening to the sound, as the angry waters dashed themselves against their narrow bound. Ah, well for us, said Peter, that the gates are good and strong, and my father tends them carefully, or they would not hold you long. You're a wicked sea, said Peter. I know why you fret and chafe. You would like to spoil our lands and homes, but our sluices keep you safe. But hark! Through the noise of waters comes a low, clear, trickling sound, and the child's face pales with terror, and his blossoms drop to the ground. He is up the bank in a moment, and stealing through the sand, he sees a stream not yet so large as his slender, childish hand. 'Tis a leak in the dyke. He is but a boy, unused to fearful scenes, but young as he is, he has learned to know the dreadful thing that means, a leak in the dyke. The stoutest heart grows faint that cry to hear, and the bravest man in all the land turns white with mortal fear, for he knows the smallest leak may grow to a flood in a single night, and he knows the strength of the cruel sea when loosed in its angry might. And the boy, he has seen the danger, and shouting a wild alarm, he forces back the weight of the sea with the strength of his single arm. He listens for the joyful sound of a footstep passing nigh, and lays his ear to the ground to catch the answer to his cry. And he hears the rough winds blowing and the waters rise and fall, but never an answer comes to him save the echo of his call. He sees no hope, no succor. His feeble voice is lost. Yet, what shall he do but watch and wait? though he perish at his post. So, faintly calling and crying till the sun is under the sea, crying and moaning till the stars come out for company, he thinks of his brother and sister asleep in their safe warm bed. He thinks of his father and mother, of himself as dying and dead, and of how when the night is over they must come and find him at last. But he never thinks he can leave the place where duty holds him fast. The good dame in the cottage is up and astir with the light, for the thought of her little Peter has been with her all night, and now she watches the pathway as yester-eve she had done. But what does she see so strange and black against the rising sun? Her neighbors are bearing between them something straight to her door. Her child is coming home, but not as he ever came before. He is dead, she cries, my darling. And the startled father hears and comes and looks the way she looks and fears the thing she fears. Till a glad shout from the bearers thrills the stricken man and wife. Give thanks, for your son has saved our land, and God has saved his life. So there in the morning sunshine they knelt about the boy, and every head was bared and bent in fearful, reverent joy. 'Tis many a year since then, but still when the sea roars like a flood, their boys are taught what a boy can do who is brave and true and good. For every man in that land takes his son by the hand and tells him of little Peter, whose courage saved the land. They have many a valiant hero remembered through the years, but never one whose name so oft is named with loving tears. And his deed shall be sung by the cradle and told to the child on the knee, so long as the dikes of Holland divide the land from the sea. Friends, I hope you've enjoyed this story of how a young boy saved his hometown from destruction by the floodwaters of the sea. Let us ask God to help us to be intercessors, to stand in the gap and throw out the lifeline to save others who are struggling under the load of their sin and condemnation. Shall we spend a moment in prayer? Our Father, give us the courage and grace to stand in the place which you have chosen for us to fill. Make the broadcast a blessing to all who hear it, for in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Listen now to this song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, by Bobby Forbes, Doral Forbes, Melvin Doolittle, and Randall Flynn.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious.
Yes, friends, let us tell the story of Jesus everywhere.
That ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus.
This broadcast has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like to have a printed copy of today's broadcast, you may have one free of charge by sending us your request. There is no obligation on your part. Until next Friday night at 11 o'clock, this is Willie Murphy speaking for the Mission Trail and saying a very pleasant good night.
Tell me the story most precious.